The stripper in the burlesque house on stage goes, here it is, boys, da-da-da, it's cool. But let her do that in the public park on the way home and her ass is in jail. The theater is make-believe. That's where it's at.
He was a very loving father. He was also a very complex individual with a lot on his plate. He was fighting literally for his life, not to be imprisoned for obscenity. And it practically destroyed him. He started getting arrested. He started going before judges. He was coming up on trials, many, many trials. Some he won, some he didn't. And what he was saying was not obscene. It wasn't the purient interest. It wasn't stirring up sexual feelings. That's the definition of obscenity.
And I figured out after 4 years why I got arrested so many times. Here's how it happened. I do my act at perhaps 11 o'clock at night. Little do I know that 11 a.m. the next morning, before the grand jury somewhere, is another guy doing my acts. The grand jury watches him work and they go, that stinks. But I get busted. And the irony is that I have to go to court and defend his act.
The powers that be, for a better word, I don't have one, just didn't like what he had to say and found it that, you know, it was just too on point and they needed him to be quiet. My dad's autobiography, which is being re-released on August the 3rd, he talks about some of those issues. He was absolutely terrified to go to jail. And it was outrageous that he was going to be imprisoned for practicing what he believed was his First Amendment right.
So what happens, the rule gets bigger and bigger, and the guy says, okay, nobody on the post office steps, that's a rule. Okay, nobody in the street, that's a rule. Rule, 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 hire the cop. Now, up in Harlem, there's 9,000 people wailing their ass off, sticks and stones. They get a cop with a short-sleeved shirt on and a stick in his hand, and people yelling Gestapo at him.
The climate and temperature of the attitudes of the people in our country at this time are not too far different from what was going on in my father's day in the late 50s and early 60s. There's still civil unrest. There's still racism. There's blood in the streets. And this all was happening at the time that my father was getting arrested during those years. And he was bringing some of these topics to light, and he was being arrested for doing so. He was arrested for the content, not because he was Dirty Lenny or a dirty word.
Was it important to you that then-Governor Pataki in 2003 pardoned your dad?
It was very important to me. It was a little late for a apology. What I thought to myself was, you know what? God, Daddy, they wanted you to be quiet. They tried to shut you down, and it's 50 years later, and you're still talking. That was made me feel good. I felt that Governor Pataki was very brave to do so, and it was an honor and very well deserved. My father's memory, I feel like I'm the gatekeeper, and I wanted to make sure that people weren't going to forget about Lenny Bruce. His autobiography is being re-released on the 50th year of the anniversary of his death on DeCapo Press. How to Talk Dirty and Influence People. And the money from that book, portions of it, are going to go to the Lenny Bruce Memorial Foundation. We give life-saving scholarships to people that are in need for treatment from drug and alcohol addiction. We have an epidemic going on. So that's one way that I can keep my father's name alive in a way that changed people's lives. I think that's really what he would have wanted.